Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everybody, welcome to the Neil and Christian Baker Psychic Hour. Okay, today we're going to be talking about haunted houses because Halloween is tomorrow. Halloween's tomorrow. Can you believe it?
Yeah. All started as All Saints Days.
Yeah, All Saints Day. Well, it's All Saints Day is actually the first.
November.
First. Mm-hmm.
But October is scary month.
It's frightening. I am so scared. From October 1st to October 31st, yeah. I've got white knuckles, my teeth are clenched, because I'm in complete fear.
Utter horror. You know, is it All Saints Day? Because I know it's Day of the Dead.
All Saints Day is, yes. All Saints Day is November 1st.
It's not really about saints. It's about the dead rising, and we have to give them tricks, or
we
have to give them treats,
or they're going to turn tricks.
They're going to do tricks on all the prostitutes. So this is a big day for them.
Saints.
That's why I don't know why a lot of the kids don't dress up as prostitutes. Can you imagine a boy and a girl, the guy's the pimp. And the girl's the prostitute.
It's
and they
perfect,
go from house to house.
Perfect Halloween costumes for children.
You're going to get more tricks than you're going to get treats.
I'm so glad that you're not a parent. Okay, anyway, this is, it's November 2nd this year, actually.
But is Halloween considered All Saints Day?
No. All Saints Day is a separate holiday. Actually, it's all, hold on a sec.
All Spirits
no,
Day.
I'm sorry, wrong. I'm right. All Saints Day is the 1st of November.
Yeah.
All Souls Day happens to be on the 2nd of November.
Well, then Halloween is what, Day of the Dead?
Day of the Dead is not Halloween.
Halloween.
I think Day of the Dead probably is All Souls Day. Let's look up Day of the Dead.
Ask George Romero.
Who?
George Romero.
Day of the Dead is the 1st and ends on the 2nd. Of course, the other cultures, you know, they have like these long holidays. We in the United States have like one day. It's stupid. So it's celebrated for 2 days.
But Halloween is
Halloween is not.
Halloween is considered in its origin. It goes back. There's origin of it in Mexico. There's origin of it in Yugoslavia. Transylvania.
For all the transvestites, the transsexuals.
Like to dress up on Halloween. And
on Halloween, the transvestites dress up as men rather than as women, because the transvestites, that's what they normally dress as.
But this is Halloween is when you had cross dressing.
Well, yeah, but they
cross-dressing story because you dress as demons, but you also dress as divas.
Right, but they would if you were a transvestite on Halloween, then you would just dress normally. I would imagine.
I'd dress normally.
Yes.
You know, you never see a kid dressed going house to house in a business suit with wingtip shoes. You know, holding it with a pencil,
and
in his
briefcase.
Ear.
Okay.
A briefcase.
Okay. So, what is your question?
What is the origin of Halloween? I mean, I knew this. Yesterday, but I forgot.
Well,
busy carving a pumpkin.
No, It's Celtic. It's Celtic.
Yeah, it's Celtic. That's what I'm saying. England.
Well, you didn't say
Yugoslavia. Pennsylvania. Detroit. Michigan.
You didn't say all of this England. You said Yugoslavia and Mexico.
Oh, but they're England. Well, England nearby.
Right. Okay. So it's anyway the Day of the Dead and All Souls Day. All Saints Day and All Souls Day are the Day of the Dead, which happened to be 2 days.
The Day
and
of
that's
the Dead,
in Mexico. That's but that it's not Halloween.
No, I know.
Okay. It's
they
not
celebrate
Halloween,
all
as I
the
said.
Souls that are rising.
I feel like I have soap in my coffee.
But
it's really unpleasant.
You know, a person I used to know a guy.
Ugh.
And he kept calling
I mean,
Celtic,
I think I really do have soap
Celtic.
In my coffee.
And well, whenever he talked about Celtic, I thought he was talking like about a company. And it never occurred to me because he said, well, you know, in the Celtic days, like a cell, like a battery cell.
Yeah, I get it.
But it's Celtic. It's pronounced
with a
K,
hard K sound.
A K sound. Kelpie, like
the
Kelpie
perfect
dolls.
The perfect letter. K.
Yeah. Well, there's Kelpie spirits.
Kewpie dolls.
Kewpie dolls and Kelpie spirits. There's Kelpie spirits. There's spirits of the water.
Yeah, but there are no Kelpie dolls. It's Kewpie dolls.
I know there's Kewpie dolls, but those are they're naked and they have bushy hair. You know, really sick-minded people created that doll for kids. They had, you know, they were androgynous. They didn't have any genitalia or anything. But
so I think what happened, this is what happened. Because it is a Celtic festival. You know, and it goes back to, I mean, this, like, Halloween, doesn't that connect to paganism? I mean, it's a pagan holiday.
Yeah.
So what happened is, in the 8th century, Pope Gregory III, God bless his soul, designated November 1st as a time to honor all the saints, obviously in you know, in contrast to this pagan holiday, he wanted to make a Christian holiday or Catholic holiday, a Christian Catholic holiday to honor all the saints. Then All Saints Day incorporated some of the traditions of, it was Samhain. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. And then the evening was known as All Hallows Eve, later Halloween. So All Hallows Eve is what Halloween was initially. Over time, it evolved into a day of activities like trick-or-treating, which is so funny. Yeah, so you walk around and get friggin' candy.
Yeah.
I don't. The way bastardize these holidays, I mean, it's like, how did it turn into dressing up into costumes and collecting candy?
Well, you have to ask Hershey's for that, about that, why that happened.
Or Nestle.
Nestle's, Hershey's, Starburst.
Well, Starburst, I think, is a brand of, actually, it's probably Mars. Who
no, it's
Starburst.
A candy. It's
yeah, I know, a type of candy, but we're talking about like the Nestle is the overriding, you know, it's the corporation that owns like whatever candies are beneath.
Well, you know,
like Hershey's owns.
The
I don't know what they own.
Association is totally behind.
I don't know what they own, but Starburst I think is Mars. So there's Mars. You know, those are the big corporation: Nestle, Hershey's, Mars. Okay, then all the other candies are owned by some of these larger corporations.
Well,
but I'm so glad we've clarified.
Yeah, I'm
just
digressing. We're talking about haunted houses, and you're getting off the topic.
I'm getting off the topic.
You know, haunted houses really have nothing to do with Halloween.
Well, that's was my point. I think that actually I wasn't digressing at all. I was saying how did we make
Because Halloween and haunted houses are sort of synonymous.
Well, right, but I mean, the collecting candy door to door has nothing to do with the original Halloween holiday. Nothing.
No.
Nothing.
Which is interesting. Why?
It's like, you know, giving gifts at Christmas. I mean, you know, it completely.
Well, we're talking about the energy of homes, and it's appropriate that we're talking about that on the eve of Halloween. or it's 2 days before Halloween.
No, it's the eve of Halloween.
Eve of Halloween. And, you know, the idea of a house being haunted, this new movie just came out. It's called His House. It looks like it's really good. It was reviewed in the LA Times. It's something I probably want to see. But the couple, they journey over the waters and they are given a government-sponsored home to stay in that's supposedly haunted. And it's getting pretty good reviews. It's on Netflix.
Oh, I just can't wait.
It looks like a good movie.
Oh,
but
boy.
The idea that homes are haunted comes from, first of all, the idea of abode. Abode, a dwelling. And homes capture energies. And when we typically honor the dead in our homes, we pray, we do all kinds of things. But the idea of spirits inhabiting homes, it started off that spirits inhabited bogs and lagoons because of a myth that came up. There's a certain word for that. And it would take on the form of human form. But this was really the mist and the gases from the water and the earth coming up. And so bogs and lagoons were synonymous with ghosts or boogeymen or dwarfs and things like this. I mean, the monsters type of things. Michael Dunn.
Mitch.
I don't want to say.
No.
But, one time I saw Randy Newman running through the swamp.
I didn't know he was considered a dwarf.
No, he's considered.
He's just short.
He just made a lot of money off of little people.
Oh, yeah.
Short people.
Get it.
But, you know, he did that. He did it short people. And Billy Barty actually stood up on a chair and jumped down on the record to crack it because that song was totally mistaken. But we're getting off the topic again.
Yeah.
So the idea
you're getting off the topic. Okay.
Our homes make sounds. They creak, they groan, they do all kinds
and
of things.
Obviously, sometimes that is attributed to the movement of the foundation of the home, the earth. But
somebody was very bad indigestion. The idea that that we start to hear things, shadows, we inhabit our homes, and we have this built-in placement in our brain.
Oh, no, he's tall.
For fear energy. Who's tall?
Randy Newman.
He's like 6 foot.
Yeah, he's 6 feet. So he wrote, why did he write
You're
that song?
Short people. It was a satire. He sat around.
Right, I
everything.
Know, but I'm just looking at this anyway. Go ahead.
But what was I saying? So
you're talking about the homes.
So
homes.
We.
The noises in homes.
The noises in homes and the shadows and things like this. Well, there's a portion in the brain that is called fear. We have a fear factor in our brain that conjures up images and stories that are scary, and that's why we're so in tune to the energy. Because one thing, a good scary story keeps us awake. And the idea that if we sleep, you see, if we sleep, we're vulnerable.
That's why I don't like to watch movies late at night. Well, not late at night, but even like before bed.
Well, it's a...
Because they do keep you awake. I mean, if you watch a movie, just
it's a
based on what you're saying.
The idea is if we sleep, we're vulnerable to death. If we sleep, we're vulnerable to the body snatchers. We're vulnerable to all kinds of things. You know, if I should die before I wake,
pray
the Lord
my
soul to
take.
Okay. When I was told that prayer, I was like, oh my God, this is the scariest
prayer. You did?
Huh? Yeah.
Now you
I'm
said that
down.
Prayer?
Yeah, every night.
Kidding.
No,
so
night.
Did I.
Now I lay me down to
sleep.
Pray
my prayer,
Lord,
my
soul
to
keep.
If I
should
die before
I
wake,
pray the Lord my
soul to take. Okay.
Then I would go, then I was so neurotic. I go, God bless my mother,
my
father.
I did that. I did the same thing.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
I did. That is surprising.
I did it every night.
Well, we were different faiths, so I'm surprised you did that prayer, and I did that prayer. Same thing, and the whole God bless
right.
the whole family, and then
yeah,
you know,
through the whole thing.
Yeah.
So the idea that scary stories keep us awake, we're too scared to go to bed. So being fearful is actually a survival tactic because it keeps us alert. Now,
Of the adrenaline and the chemicals the body produces.
But it's a contradiction because what the scary stuff are spirits from the sleep world. They're from the astral realm, the sleep world, the underworld, hell. And so by staying awake, we're battling our fears. So scary stories is about battling our fears and being alert and conquering death. That's what scary stories are really about. They're to remind us that we're mortal, but they're also to remind us that within our mortality, we're immortal because we can fight these fears. And usually, typically, horror stories, until, you know, we got into the Cold War era, typically, scary stories, the protagonist survived, they win. You know, most stories, you win. But there's an element of horror, whether it be H.P. Lovecraft or Poe or any of the ancient horror story writers, all cultures, that ghosts can linger on or return.
So we'll talk about horror stories. I mean, you get into the whole the children's nursery rhymes. Those are often a horror story.
And now we're getting, you know, talking about horror stories, we're getting back to the pimps and the prostitutes.
No,
but I don't want to get back in there again.
That's bad. But no, it's true. I mean, nursery rhymes are frightening.
Yeah. Oh, nursery rhymes
frightening.
Hans Christian Andersen, Grimm's fairy tales. Is
Grimm.
That
Grimm.
they're
appropriate.
They're chopped up. They're eaten. All kinds of things.
I mean, it's interesting that those stories were written that way because of how they influence a child's brain and development
very
and thought
but
process.
We all love a good ghost story. And when you think about in primitive times, ghost story by the fire. Hell. By the fire. Fire. We just heard a crack.
We
have spirits here that are trying to jump into the reading. They're very comical.
You mean the radio show? This is
not
a reading.
They just made a crack that shouldn't have been there. There's
no reason
that crack should have been.
And that's so we're talking about that. Yeah, about the fact that homes make different sounds and it can be attributed to the movement of the earth, blah blah blah. But obviously, because of spirit activity, sounds can be
right
heard that are not attributed to the normal movement.
We have mischievous spirits here. We have good spirits, and we have portals that have a lot of dark energy that are very dangerous.
And that's because, let's explain why, because we don't want people to think that we're of dark energy. The reason why we have portals is because of the fact that we're here on the earth essentially doing service, higher work, and there's darker energies that don't want that work to be completed.
Demons do not like us. When you're dealing with, when you're ascribed to dealing with higher spirits and angels and guides and messengers and things like that of the light, the dark forces hate you.
Especially when there's a specific purpose. We have a specific purpose on the planet to, you know, get this book written, you know, help people, blah, blah, blah. So there's that energy going on, which is threatening to darker forces.
And portals,
they're trying
portals,
to stop
it. There are permanent portals, and then there are spontaneous portals that just emerge. The permanent portals always have to be cleared. They have to be cleared, especially when you're doing the kind of work we do. And if you don't clear them, well, you got problems. The spontaneous portals are different. You don't know where they are. You don't have any map in your mind. I have a conscious map of the layout of where permanent portals are. But when spontaneous portals come in and you notice them, you have to be very cautious because you don't know what is in that portal.
PPs.
Yeah. But we're talking, you know, the homes, when we talk about spirits in a home can be occupied by portals that are just passageways that are going across the home.
Which is common.
They go horizontal.
So this is the other thing, because, you know, we talk to people, we've done house clearings remotely and in person. Most homes have portals, and most people aren't clearing these portals on a nightly basis, nor do they have the skill to be able to clear the portals. I mean, most people wouldn't know how to do it in any way.
Well, most people, they don't need to, because it's innocuous. There's no reason to. They're just there. It's only when things start to disrupt and cause a problem.
But oftentimes, like when we do, when we've dealt with house clearings, or I mean, you've done lots of them before before we met, but we've done them together, and then we've had people that have called us off the air and on the air, and we've dealt with their issues. A lot of the times, even if there's a disruption going on in the house, it's a fairly easy problem to fix. It's not a continuous problem needs to be dealt with on a nightly basis, like in our home where the portals have to be cleared every night, or there could be a major problem. So usually it's lower grade spirits that occupy these portals that cause disruptions in the house, like a soul that maybe lived on the land before, or something that attached to the person, not necessarily having, you know, any relationship with the land, but just the person picked up a negative spirit, something like that.
You kind of think, what's the metaphor? Okay, so you live on the neighborhood, and cars go back and forth across the street. So you don't worry about them. Those are the horizontal portals in a house. But every once in a while, a car parks in front of your home, suspicious. They're stalking your home, or there's a car crash, or something. The regular street zone becomes dangerous. Well, the portals in a home can't become dangerous. They can attract a dark spirit that may be something within the house draws them, or a person's energy draws them, but they stop. If people are doing ritualistic things that could be deemed as dangerous or haunting, they're attracted to that. You know, they're drawn to that, like flies to decay. They go closer into the energy. So if you're dealing with light, you bring in angels, you bring in good spirits, you bring in protection. But there's always this element that we have these contrasting spirits that can come in and cause havoc, whether you're of good intent or bad intent. And then the home itself may be on sacred ground, or maybe on burial ground, or on ground that was once where there was some catastrophe or murder.
Yeah,
those,
you know,
energies
can
be that come from the earth. Now, when portals are vertical, that's more dangerous. A vertical portal is much more dangerous than a horizontal portal. A horizontal portal, that's usually you just see spirits going through.
But a vertical portal, there's
energy that just repeats itself every night with any consciousness.
The vertical portal allows more entry into the living space of the.
Well, they're rooted into the earth. That's not good, and they're coming especially from the astral realm. So there's a whole definition to a vertical portal than there is to a horizontal portal.
Something I was reading.
A vertical portal is going to be more prone to have active energy, which could be good or bad, but that's more dangerous, because we have the passageway for spirits to move in from different levels of the astral realm, and they're just not passing through. They may stop in the home and abide there, abode there, and that becomes dangerous when things start happening. Now, a lot of them just hang out. Like a ceiling spider. They just kind of hang out. They don't do much harm. I've gone to homes where you have spirits there, and they ask me or plead with me, can I stay? Can I stay? I'm not hurting them. And I say to the occupants of the home, just let it stay. It's not doing any harm. If anything, they may do some good. They may watch over the home. So those kind of spirits are good. It's when a spirit starts communicating with me when I go to a house and they start telling me things that the people, only the people of the house would know. Went to one home, Chris and I, and I said, oh, the blue sweater or something. And the guy pulled out the blue sweater from his closet. We said a few other things that were a lot more ominous and prevailing in the intensity than that. And we had to clear the house out because the energy was not a good energy. Sometimes they are good and sometimes they aren't. But the element of how do you clear an energy? Now, you know, one time just to appease people, the people at the house, I did sage. And I saged the whole house. I was nothing but sick from it.
I like sage.
So the smoke was all going all over me. I was doing the sage. It did nothing.
I mean, I like
the whole time the spirit was laughing.
I like the scent of it. It doesn't work.
I'm talking about how you clear. Sage does not clear. What sage does is the shamans would use sage to clear the energy field of the body sometimes, just to get a certain clearance. But that's just to do an intricate work on a body or a zone. But sage does not clear a house.
Entities. I think part of the, you know, people think that it, you know, these are people using it. I read a lot on Facebook about people using sage and, you know, to clear negative energy or whatever. What is all over you, by the way?
The idea that it can clear an energy on a superficial level. You can do a general
clearance. Well, and the point is that, you know, there's a ritualistic, there's something ritualistic about it. So that I think can be somewhat helpful to, you know, an individual if the person's trying to do some type of superficial clearing.
Yeah, you can do a superficial, but you're not gonna drive away. You know, if you have termites in the house and you spray Lysol or Raid, you don't really get into the wood. You don't go deep. What sage does is the spirits just retreat into the wood. They just retreat deeper into the home. They just stay out of the obvious visible places. To tell you the truth, to clearing a home, and to say the spirits go to the light, no, what are you talking about? They're not going to go to any light. To clear an energy, first of all, you have, not that I am, but you have to be talented. You have to be able to put out an energy in such a force that they can't be around you. And then you seal it. So it's like getting a dog catcher to get a pit bull out of a corner. You have to be able to know what you're doing.
Well, I mean, yeah.
You have to be like a firefighter.
Well, you know what you're doing?
Yeah, I know what I'm doing.
Okay, so then you do think you're talented.
Well,
so don't say.
No, well,
you know.
I'm trying to be humble, but
well,
the
mean,
idea
it's
that,
ridiculous.
You know,
I
always,
mean,
it's you know, the human being is mortal. We're mortal.
You're,
and so the idea is that do you want to call on spirits and guides and angels to be around you? Of course, that's logic in the spiritual realm. You call on the spirits to help you out. And then there's that human element. Sometimes there are accompanying angels and spirits that will just escort the entity out if you call upon them. That's another idea. And don't think Christ didn't do this stuff. He did this stuff too. Moses did this stuff. The whole gang did this kind of thing with spirits and energies and darkness. So we're not just talking about sinister elements or Doctor Who or whatever it is. We're talking about all forms of religion and spiritualism.
Right, and that's
mysticism.
Been really, that's been,
there's a clearing energy.
The fact that Christ did things like that, we know through Christian ritual and obviously the Catholic Catholic ritual of the conversion of bread to the body of Christ and blood, or wine to the blood of Christ, that these rituals were done. But people tend to forget that Christ, I mean, he did clear evil energies, and there was mysticism, and that
the demons
right.
spit on sand and made people see again.
Right.
I mean,
so this, but what's happened with Christian religion is that a lot of the view of what psychics do has been looked at as heresy, essentially, or
right.
classified as heresy. So, I mean, obviously, people that are not authentic and are ineffective at doing these types of things should be looked upon, I guess, by religious entities as being heretic. However, there are authentic people that have this talent. And so that's where the confusion has, you know, then you get into the idea of priests performing exorcisms. And we know that in many cases, I mean, priests are ill-prepared to perform exorcisms. You know, they're not effective necessarily.
No.
So.
And Max Van Cito was very effective. But he wasn't totally effective. Actually, Jason Miller was.
Okay. Anyway, but seriously, I mean, you know, so you get my point.
So why do we have them? I mean, why do we have spiders in homes? Why do we have crawly things in homes? First of all, you have to spiders and creepy crawly things and crickets and stuff like that. They're real. They come in homes. They're real. First of all, you have to believe that there are spirits. And then people will say, well, we don't have spirits in our home, but dear Aunt May, who died here in this room, we see her all the time. And she climbs the stairs and she's on the rocking chair. And should we hear her singing upstairs? So the idea that spirits can dwell in a home, there's two ideas. One is residual energy. The two, it's a mocking spirit. That's understanding who the person
that's
was.
That's different than a mocking bird.
Yeah, mocking bird. Mocking spirit that understands what they're looking for and they'd like to play. They get enjoyment out of this. In fact, some not malevolent spirits that are totally evil, but some spirits exist that they think if you're afraid or you scream or you cry, that's part of the game. So if spirits like scare a child and the child starts crying, the spirit doesn't mean to hurt the child. The spirit just thinks it's part of the game, and they start laughing while the child's crying because they're mischievous lower spirits.
Just
get a kick
out of the game.
Like cranks up. They get a kick out of you, you know. They understand that being scary is a good thing, because they're lower element spirits.
But these are not evil
not
spirits.
Evil.
These are not evil spirits.
No, but they'll do things. They just find it fun. They just find, you know, tip over a glass, make sounds. Especially if you're asleep, they love to wake. They love boom. That they love the element of surprise.
Well, we had a spirit that used to come around the home and doesn't as much because of someone else that's in the home and is scared. But the tapper, remember the tapper? And we'd be woken up. We would be woken up. I mean, I have recordings. And I mean, this was a funny spirit. I could ask questions to the spirit, and he would tease Neil especially. So I would ask questions about Neil. I would say, tap once if Neil is this, tap twice if blah blah blah, and he would tap, you know, the most obnoxious answer, and there would be songs, we'd sing songs, and he'd tap the songs, and I mean, and then, he was really fun. I have recordings of this.
And then his cousin, the clapper, came and the lights were going on and off.
And then Neil turned into the woman on the commercial.
Yeah.
Anyway, but, no, but.
Yeah, that was a playful spirit.
I love that spirit.
But we have other spirits, ring doorbells and stuff like that. We don't even have a doorbell. But.
Well, we have a doorbell in the construction of the home, but we don't have a physical out.
No,
there's no doorbell anymore to ring outside the home. And so the bells will ring in the home.
Yeah. So, I see little children on the steps and just staring at me and laughing and smiling, you know, okay. So, but that's typical. And some of them I just know are safe. They're okay. And they're drawn because they get a delight out of the energy we put out. It's very tempting to them. It's like putting out a certain flower for the butterfly. Because of the work we do, we attract all kinds of spirits. We just have to weed out the bad ones and keep in the good ones. But the house is filled with spirits. And the a human being coming into the home, oh, no, not safe. Not necessarily safe. It's got to be all kind of clearing and all kinds of things.
You mean a human being?
Another human being aside from the occupants
of the home.
So it becomes a very dangerous situation, potentially dangerous, just because of the intensity now of what we've done with our particular home and the kind of energies that abide here.
Abide abode.
Now, when we're called to go to a home that has an evil entity in it, sometimes what people deem to be evil is not evil at all.
Right, that's what I was going to say. Because I don't really recall ever going to a home where there was a really, I mean, you probably have in your years of experience, but together I don't think we've gone to a home where there's a true evil energy.
Been, yeah, no,
you
we
have. You
we
have.
We've
together.
Been in some dark stuff, but
not evil.
No, I went to one house that was totally evil due to an Ouija board activity. Very bad.
But I'm just saying, on our in our experience together, I mean, people that have called and wanted clearings are usually in a state of fear and they think that they're dealing with evil spirits. I think all cases, the spirits haven't been evil.
Right.
There may have been dark energies, but not
evil. I went to one house. It was like behind gates, and it was a house, and the grounds were vast. It was in Los Felix, Hollywood Hills. And it was like a small, it was like Huntington Library, but smaller in scale. And a lot of the actors and actresses in the glamour days of Hollywood would go there and have big parties, and there'd be all kinds of secret societies going on.
You mean like dark secret societies?
Well, it wasn't. It was used more for rendezvous and stuff like that, and you know, decadence and everything. Then it was I think an orphanage. And they had another separate building that was where there was a play area and children were kept, and they thought maybe there was child slavery going on. I mean, it just had a dark, dark history. I'm not going to name the place because there's a privacy issue. But when I went to that house, and it was behind gates, and I walked into one hallway, one banquet room, and it was like that banquet room in Disneyland with all the spirits roaming around the table. There were so many spirits flying around, evil, dark, obnoxious spirits. And I saw them. And the occupants of the home knew that room was haunted for many reasons, but only saw things in shadows. Well, what I did was I activated their third eye. And when they looked at the room now with their third eye and saw invisible form, the spirits flying around, they ran
space,
out of the room.
Visible, not they invisible.
Ran out of the room. They were petrified because they saw it more in total focus.
Did they end up focused. So what was the result of this?
You know, I went there a couple of times to do clearings. I went down to the orphanage area or where the children were, nursery area.
And
building,
it was probably horrible
orphanage.
And there were
all kinds of atrocities.
Oh, yeah.
Children, I saw where children were chained up and sexually abused.
Oh, my God.
And children were killed there and strangled. The whole place was evil.
And they bought this home, obviously, probably millions of dollars they spent.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Multi-million.
And gardeners, the groundkeepers, didn't quite know who I was, but when I was walking the grounds, they would tell me in their broken English, haunted, ghosts here, ghosts everywhere.
That level of darkness, how can you really, you can't clear it. You just have to let it be what it is and move.
It'd be like me going down to the beach and saying, you know, I'm going to get rid of
all the
wetness in the
waves,
water.
Yeah.
The water will no longer be wet.
Yep.
So
did they end up leaving? Who would want to live in that kind of energy?
The house was under, there was some kind of controversy about who really owned the house and if it was the city or the person. I mean, there was some controversy about the real estate of the house and how it was going to be kept. And I don't know what ultimately happened because I was, the person who was employing me to go there to clear the house suddenly turned very dark and told me never to come back. And, you know, I don't know. They were out of their minds too. They weren't, you know, it was like going to the home and you meet Vincent Price owning the home.
Well, do you think,
Lancaster.
So were they unstable, do you think, prior to owning the home, or do you think their instability as a result?
They were probably rooted to the energy
of the home.
Some level.
Right. So they were probably.
But they called because of the disturbances they couldn't live with. Now, also in the home was this old safe that they could not unlock. It was built into the home. They couldn't unlock it. Locksmiths couldn't get in. No one could get into the safe. And, when I was trying to analyze the combination with my hand, and we're talking, people wouldn't stay down there. The locksmiths would come down, be scared to death, and leave. When I was trying to analyze the combination of the safe, howls, screams, scratches on the wall appeared with blood coming out. I mean, it was terrifying. Everybody ran out. The lights went out. I was in darkness. I finally said, I'm getting the hell out of here. I'm not dealing with this stuff.
So obviously you weren't able to open the safe. I wonder what was in the safe.
I don't know, but there was content in there. I could feel the vibration of it. Maybe it was a human skull or something.
Yeah, I mean, something.
But that's a big thing. When we get into homes that are more smaller in structure and there's a dark energy, that's easier to contain, even if there are numerous spirits in the home. Now, some homes have good things, the blue fairy, the angels, the guides, the spirits, and they're just wonderful energies, and they're guardians of energies. But you don't know.
Well, it's interesting because I was reading about something. I can't remember what this location was. And this happens a lot the Slaughterhouse series of New York, where there was slaughterhouses in the 50s and 40s earlier years, and now they've been the areas been renovated, new buildings, restaurants, and all this stuff have occupied the space of where these slaughterhouses have been. Anyway, there was a place here, I can't remember if it's somewhere we've been, I just don't remember exactly, but you think about the energy of that going on, and then clearing out, demolishing the slaughterhouse, but then building on that land.
Yeah.
What energy remains from that type of activity? I mean,
it can't be knocked. You can get away with it, but in most cases, the energy is not particularly.
It's not
good.
Not exactly.
But
so
it
can be managed, and it isn't necessarily going to cause, situations like in the house that you were talking about, but I mean, honestly, if I was to be buying property, I would not, if there was a history of there being a slaughterhouse on the property, the land of the property I was buying, I would say no thank you. I wouldn't do it.
I might still buy it, clear the energy, and promote life to come there and be.
I wouldn't want to even be
abundant,
involved
but
in
you
that.
You could reform an energy. I mean, the whole earth is a fiery ball.
I don't know. I don't think I'd want to.
And it's hard to step on the planet.
To think that, right, obviously.
I know what you mean.
I mean, why would you want to have that in the...
I don't know, but I would probably redesign the energy of the space and then invite animals to come and stay and be there and that kind of thing. Now, sometimes I'll get out of the car, approach a home. I remember I approached one home in Beverly Hills or somewhere, Hollywood or somewhere. But as soon as I got to the entry, as soon as I got to the walkway, I stopped. And the people were just looking at me. And I said, someone died here. Someone fell, cracked their head, and died. Oh, there he is. There he is walking. And the people, their mouths dropped open. They go, our father, on this very walkway where you're standing, fell. He hit his head on the cement and died. And then I said the guy's name, and the guy came up and was looking at me. But, you know, this is telepathy. This is like communication between energy fields. And I said, well, he's right here. I mean, I'm looking at him right now. And he said his name, and people were like, oh, my God. Oh, God, this is incredible. So he's, and then they go, well, what does he do? Just sit here all day? But the energies.
Was it residual energy you're dealing with? Or it was actually his soul. So, I mean, let's talk about that. They are asking you what did he do? Sit here all day. So he was stuck.
A lot of them were stuck. A lot of them get stuck. It's unfortunate, but they get stuck.
It is because.
And they're there until the term of their physical life would be over, and then they're whisked away.
And when, his death was, I mean, you probably don't remember, but at what point in his life did he die? It sounds like something like he was probably elderly.
He was compelled. At the time he died, he was on a mission to go to the house because somebody was sick or something, and something happened. I can't remember the circumstances, like 25 years ago. But when he went there, he was on a mission to help somebody in the house.
Right. But
he had a heart attack. He fell right then and cracked his head.
But he must have been probably above 60 years old when he died.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was older.
It's not about the term. This is about the compelling factor of him being there to protect, because the mission was never accomplished.
Right. But what you had said earlier, and what we talk about often on the show, is the fact that a soul may be trapped in a specific area because they have to remain there until the normal term of their life has expired. So however long he would have lived, say it was 60 years old when he died, maybe he would have died in his natural life at 79. So he's there for 20 years, but also what was keeping there is not just the term of his life, wasn't just the term, but the compelling factor is his help. So
his soul was stuck.
So his soul was transfixed there because of the mission that he didn't accomplish when he was alive.
Yeah, sometimes that happens.
And so, in that case, there were two things going on.
Yeah,
as far as what
was
keeping him there.
A compelling factor.
And he could remain there longer because of that, unfortunately.
Some spirits do remain.
And
I mean,
to people,
the astral realm, is not there's no singularity about it. It's multifaceted. There's no general.
It's not a black and white answer. Exactly.
And so I have found going in there, it's very elaborate. There's more than you could ever imagine. I mean, they say that the last frontier are the oceans. We haven't really discovered the depth of our oceans. The astral realm is a million times magnified over the mysteries of the planet and the earth. And when you're getting in there, even Christ said, oh my God, there's so many rooms in my father's mansion. What was he talking about? Rooms in my father's mansion? I mean, that's the corrupted
analogy.
Language in the translation. In the Hebrew or the Greek, I don't know. But the idea that there are levels of energy in the astral realm, and a lot of them do share the zone between the earth and the astral realm. to where the astral realm penetrates into the physical realm of our planet and even activates and manifests in there. So there's a shared energy. So it's between worlds.
Well,
two worlds.
It's interesting in the case of this gentleman that died. I mean, when would his soul be released if it's not just the term of his natural life that is keeping his soul in that confinement of that astral realm?
You might have to go to Hollywood and ask. Because, you know, does a spirit ultimately come? Discover that they have to. It was like the Canterville Ghost, where the guy died because he was a coward and he had to prove himself to be brave, and then he was released. Or movies like On Borrowed Time and books, where you're trapped between worlds. Even Ghost. How do you release a spirit that's trapped? There's maybe 10 ways to do it. And maybe it's organic. Or maybe ultimately in time, our astral bodies, what happens is that if it's a human soul, it's in an astral body. That eventually corrupts and goes into a different realm. So when a human being has an astral body, they can, just like we leave our physical body behind, but it's sort of inactive, well, we can leave our astral body behind and move on to a higher plane. And that astral body may for a time have some life in it. Sometimes it's preoccupied by another spirit will take on that body and absorb the energy of the person who actually had the body. So they are impersonating that person and living in that energy. There's a lot of lost souls in the astral realm that are wandering, terrible wandering. A lot of them were human beings that wandered in life, had no ultimate belief. And so when they go into the astral realm, there's no penetrating or magnetic factor for them to attach to anything. Some people think, well, when you die, all the souls are just absorbed into God. That's not my experience. That's a great idea, but that's not what
I'm saying. So, like, for example, if someone is without any religious conviction, or not religious, I don't want to use the word religious, doesn't have any spiritual connection, and believes that they're just on the planet on a physical level,
right,
and they live their life and they die and turn to dust. Once that soul goes into the astral realm, it's not a necessarily good situation for that.
God cast out Lucifer, became Satan, and his statement is, "I wander. I'm wandering from one end of the planet to the other. I'm wandering." Also in the passage, God Christ says, "I never knew you. I don't know you," and they're not allowed entry into heaven. There's wandering souls. So we look at who was cast out, Cain, who had a mark on his forehead.
Yeah, that's the mark.
And he was not to be touched. He represents all wandering souls. So there are souls that wander. And a lot of them don't just say, I got nothing to do. I'll go over to Lucifer. I'll go over to Satan and join his team. A lot of them, like in a gang mentality, they just remain neutral, but they wander. They just wander. There's wandering souls. Very sad. A very sad thing to see. But a lot of them are not conscious of God. They're not conscious of the devil. They're only conscious of being permanently attached to the astral realm and wandering. And they wander. They're almost like zombies.
It's very depressing.
And can you talk to them? Sometimes. Sometimes you can converse. Sometimes you can't, like a street person. They just aren't there. They just gibberish. So it's strange. When I enter the astral realm, I can sometimes recognize what I'm confronting. I can see if it's angelic quality or God quality or good spirit or something that's dark and evil. A lot of ugly looking spirits aren't necessarily evil. Just like a lot of ugly people on the planet are really saints. It has nothing to do generally with the appearance, although if something's snarling and dripping drool all over it and has blood on its teeth, I'm not going to go, oh, okay, that's nice. There are some apparent apparitions that are, it's obvious they're dark. But anyways, we're getting back to our energy and saying that, yeah, you know, our homes can be filled with light or dark. It's interesting. It's always fascinating. In most 99.9% of the cases, you're not going to die from anything in the energy field of your home. You may be disturbed by it, or you may be enlightened.
Right, but our homes just are, real quick, in that Los Felix house, that energy, that evil energy there was dangerous.
Yeah, people had died on the ground.
Yeah,
that was a different
case. Different case. Yeah. So, but we're much rarer than
right.
Okay, so we are back on the air on Tuesday, I think, next week, unless we change our minds over the weekend. Tuesday, Thursday is what we have set up now. So if we keep that schedule and don't change to Wednesday, Friday, we will speak with you then.